it's coming right for us. Right for us.
Hampton.
Alshon.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm Mark Harmon, 17-6 Bears. 7:18 to go in the fourth quarter. We're on a little bit early today because we've got Blackhawks hockey tonight on 720 WGN. The Blackhawks on the road, preseason hockey at the Red Wings with a 5 o'clock puck drop. So with you till 5. OB, you like the attitude that you're seeing from your Chicago Bears today?
Well, so far with about 7 minutes to go in the game, this is the first time in a month since the league had started. We did nothing again in training camp. They were not prepared. They went into the exhibition season. They didn't play enough. They were not prepared. And we came out in the first league games 0-3, and never one time did we ever look like we were coached up or ready to play football mentally and physically. Today, at home, so far, they've met the challenge. They've been aggressive on defense. They just got their second sack of the day, but they're doing a splendid job offensively. Hoyer is just a little dinking, dunking it, keeping the plays alive. But this, the main, most important thing, folks, is that they look like they were ready to play for the first time all year, going back to the opening day of training camp. The second thing I'm going to say, with 10:40 to go in the fourth quarter, we're down on the 8-yard line, and we had four downs, folks. Not one time did we try to go into the end zone. You've got to have a killer instinct here somewhere along the line. They've got to go after it, put the game away. It was a perfect chance for them, and not one time did they make an attempt to pass into the end zone. Not smart thinking.
Lions are driving right now, 3rd and 6 on the Bears 41, going to be 4th and 6. Start of the show sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Hampo?
Well, you know, just to echo what OB said, you know, the offense was rolling the first half. Brian Hoyer? You say what you want. He's a reclamation project after the abysmal way he ended his career with the Houston Texans last year. Last week, you know, some garbage yardage in the second half, Kaz, but today, 230 in the first half. Hey, first half is where you set the tempo, and as you said, OB, first time all year.
They were ready.
The team looked not only emotionally prepared, but mentally prepared and committed to executing. And the offense, it was running the ball. They were executing, you know, pass protections. The quarterback had time. A lot of good stuff.
Hey, hold it, Dan. And finally, folks, finally, you hear me screaming year after year, move the pocket, bootleg, sprint out, do something. Finally, today, there were two bootlegs that they tried. One in the, I think it was the first series, is the second time we had the ball, and it actually worked. Set it up. We got a lot of formations we can run from, but it was nice to see that. That was refreshing also.
Here's the real key is that the defense has flown around the field. They're diving. They're attacking. They're staying aggressive. You don't have to be great on defense if you play as 11 as one and everybody's flying and making plays. Running the football was critical. I give the offensive coordinator credit today because he stuck with the run. And then Eddie Royal just working the slot and Hoyer, I think, getting more comfortable with him. And he really has been the difference maker on big third downs. You hit him in the slot and he moves the change. So,
boy,
a better effort all the way around.
You know what? We've got one guy that I'm telling you, defensively, you talk about one guy in that entire football team that's come to play football from day one, the first snap, and that is Freeman.
Yes,
Terrell Freeman. And again, on the goal line against Detroit, yes. Detroit headed down there on the 3 or 4, and three straight plays they tried to punch it in, couldn't make a yard.
He came up and stuffed it, and he's not the most biggest guy on the planet when you're going against 300-pound, 320-pound guards. And I'll tell you what, this kid, folks, you talk about a real pro who's come to play from day one and shows it. At the end of the game, he's got 12, 17 tackles. He's made great plays. What a football player this kid is. It was a great pickup by Pace. Not too thrilled about his other ones, but he was a great pickup.
Yeah, his ones, he's missed on his ones, but he's done a nice job with his mid-round kids.
So, I agree with you.
Running back is a fifth-rounder that he got this year. And look, he's
been the most effective back we've had out of the group. And, you know, that's Kadeem Carey, that's Jeremy Langford. Yep. They all look like they were completely ineffective or lost. And to date, Howard has been very, very good.
Hey, big man, and Glenn, have you seen how Langford ran last year? To me, he ran with power, had his knees up, and flashes of speed and some breakaway moves. So far this year, I have not seen it.
Yeah, and I
haven't seen Langford be that hard-hitting runner. He didn't give up last year. I haven't seen it this year.
Here's the other thing that's helping. The Lions do all they can with, you know, they're in the fourth quarter. 4 minutes, you're down two scores, and they are doing all they can to dink and dunk, and just it looks like they could care less. It's a strange, strange deal.
And
a pick right now, and it's. I mean, there's not a lot of great effort going on by the Lions, but that doesn't matter.
You know what?
The Bears are flying around. The Lions look like the Bears the first 3 weeks, hey, Glenn, and that's good. I mean, I'm happy to see it.
You know what the Lions did? They took a page out of our game day playbook.
Yeah.
Our first three. Let's see. How dumb and stupid could we play four quarters? Okay, yeah. I got it. We've got it down solid. That's how Detroit's playing.
In and un, yeah, inept and uncommitted. They're kind of going through the motions. But you know, and I think you said it, Kaz. Hey, for the first time this year, the Bears are actually flying around on defense. And you made a big point last week about the Dallas Cowboys, easily one of the least talented of all the defensive groups in the NFL. But you know what? They get an A for effort. They fly around. They don't have great individual players, but as a sum total, they were very effective. They shut us out in the first half practically. So, you know, today we're doing what they did. We're flying around against a better, more athletic offense than we've seen in a few weeks. But guess what? We're making Stafford look silly. We forced two picks now.
I can tell you one thing. Come the year 2017, mark my words, folks, the opening day of training camp, and from to getting through training camp, then to the week of the first exhibition game, you're going to see an entirely different team being coached, methods from period to period to period changing out in Kankakee. And I'll tell you what, and then when they get in the exhibition season, you're going to see the regulars playing, and when it comes for that opener, that league opener, will be damn ready to play football. And if we're not, then Fox should be fired before the start of that first game.
17-6, Bears the lead, 4:39 to go in the fourth quarter. When we come back, one of Ryan Pace's picks I thought looked real good today, made a big step. So let's talk about that coming back here.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
On a little early today. Still got 12 minutes before 3 o'clock, but don't worry. It is real. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers, right here for you. 3:05 to go in the fourth quarter. We're off early today at 5 because of Blackhawks hockey. But the Bears look like they're going to get their first win of the season. Detroit has one timeout left. Bears are running the football, and they lead 17-6. Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Highland Park, Gurney, Hoffman Estates, and Merrillville. Kaz, you're up.
I would say the first touchdown, Eddie Royal really ran a nice route, although he wasn't, you know, he's really there to set a pick in the red zone. And then Brian Hoyer got flushed out of the pocket and threw a great pass. He caught it, turned, fought to get in the end zone, and that set the tone for the rest of the day.
And it's a huge thing because, you know, we've been so inept in the red zone, but more importantly in the first half. And that basically put Detroit down, and it's a huge – folks don't understand – hey, when you're up, I mean, it's a huge mental boost, and you play with more confidence. Everything seems to be more effective. But more importantly, Eddie Royal really did a great job, never giving up on a play, fighting through, making a nice catch with the defender all over him, Obie.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you want to talk about a player that came to the Bears and he did not have a good year last year for whatever the reason or reasons were, and he came back this year, and you could see him on the field. He's more alert. He's there. He's running routes. He's not going half speed and then trying to make a break when the play's the other way. He's running full speed every time. And that play that Glenn talked about, the Mike Mueller, Auto Group game changer, but he made a phenomenal play on that. And I think that his attitude and the way he's playing, Danny, if there's one player, Glenn, that changed from last year to this year in a positive manner is Eddie Royal.
No question. And we made the comment, hey, on punt returns, he had a punt return for a touchdown, but I don't hold my breath when he's back there.
He's decisive, yeah. Danny, yeah, in his runs.
He makes wonderful, wonderful decisions, when to fair catch, when to take it, when to go ahead and try to fight, when to get out. So, I mean, all those things are very, very important.
I wanted to give some props. I thought that Kevin White has had his best day as a Bear. 6 catches, 55 yep. yards. Fighting for yards, Hamp, right?
Well, yeah, and he's starting to look like the guy we expected to get when we drafted him in the first round. You know, he's 6'3", 220. He's the size of a linebacker.
And he can fly.
And well, we need to see that. You know, everything he's catching is
basically
we don't
go down the field, big man.
I understand.
Well, they tried, though, and he really is still learning how to run his routes. But I agree, Dan. He's each week he looks a little more comfortable, and hey, eventually
Glenn,
he's going to become more explosive
Glenn,
and become a pro.
Hey, if this kid doesn't know how to run a fly pattern by now, then
I'll
he should not
you.
Be on this team.
It's scary, but I do think there's a learning curve for any receiver on there.
And Alshon's jogging around. He looks like he's happy to be out there.
There's a flag down on the play right now, but the Lions are returning a punt for a touchdown.
Not so what you want.
So potentially in the end zone,
1:52 to go.
I know, we already started the celebration here. Hey, let me throw this out real quick, guys. Normally, the Lions chew us up pretty good, and Golden Tate is one of the reasons why. Where Bryce Callahan has been out for 2 weeks, he's back. He's the nickel guy. They basically just put him on Golden Tate, and he shut him out. And it makes everything easy. Now, by the way,
the touchdown just stood, by the way. I think the Bears were offside.
Yeah, it was
illegal formation.
Illegal formation.
Or whatever it would be. Right?
All right. Well,
17-12, extra point or 2-point conversion. You think they would go for 2 pending right here and then an onside kick?
Okay. And let me just throw some props out. 2 picks. You know, we haven't turned the ball over but twice in the first 3 games. Finally, we got 2 interceptions. Jacoby Glenn was the first, went on just a busted route by Golden Tate, who obviously is out of sync, and the other one by a 4th-round draft pick, DeAndre Hall, who made a nice play on a ball.
Let's just give props to Mr. Submarine while I digest what's going on right now, because the food was great today.
Always great, but
Bears,
you know,
folks, you
know, firmly in control, and then they give up a punt return for a touchdown.
Yeah. Those sandwiches were terrific. The beef was excellent. They're nice people.
Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine. Grab a sub packed with delicious meat, cheese, veggies on fresh baked Toronto bread. It was
they
delicious.
They do convert
today.
The 2-point play as well, so the Bears are up 3 with a 1:55, and you know what? I don't know how many timeouts the Lions have, but all of a sudden it's a ball game again.
I think they've got all 3.
They don't have all 3. I think they're all down to 1, Hamp. I believe that's they have no timeouts left. Detroit is out of timeouts.
They are.
Yeah.
Wow.
17-14, no timeouts. So listen, there's going to be an onside kick coming back here. And if the Bears recover, they will be able to salt
here,
the game
that
away.
Takes away from nothing. Believe me, this is the first time, and I think everybody in this room agrees that they were ready to play football. Finally, after the month into the season, our 4th game, they were ready. Now, what I brought up before with about 10:30 in the 4th quarter, we're on our 8-yard line going in, and we do not one time, try to throw into the end zone and score a touchdown, and we settle for a field goal. That is not good football. They've got to get some killer instinct. They got to be more aggressive down there in the red zone. That was a huge mistake. I believe we're going to win this game, even though now it looks a little tight right now. But if we're going to lose this game, and if you want to call one play that might have cost us this game in the last minute and a half here, it has to be that play of not trying to score a touchdown and playing it safe and kicking a field goal. That's not acceptable. Not in this league, not in this time, not in the fourth game of a regular season. That should not have happened.
This is a second guess for me right now, but I'm going to ask you football experts. You're punting away with 2.5 minutes to go. Do you punt it in a boomer down the middle of the field and give a guy a chance to return it, or do you punt it out of bounds?
Well, obviously the idea is that, you know, directional kick, do not give them a chance to run a set play return, and like morons, we kick it right to him.
I mean, football 101, is it
not? The guys that were covering the ball, whoever runs down, whoever has containment on the kickoff, he always goes as deep as the ball, okay? They took that kid and kicked him out. I don't know where he is. He's probably in the second balcony somewhere. And what they did, whoever was second from the outside in and third, they kicked them inside. And you see that wide pattern?
Glenn, this was a punt return. So they
They had it set up and they ran it perfect.
17-14, Lions are setting up for an onside kick with 1:52 to go here.
Just the frustration is it shouldn't be that close. Yeah. That's all. I mean, you know, it really shouldn't be like this right now.
Talking Football Hall of Famers remembrances in three volumes. David Spada and Elliot Harris interview 126 Pro Football Hall of Famers. Talk about their careers in college and in the pros. You can find it on Amazon as the Lions are messing up their onside kick, so we have a penalty. Well, I can give away actually one of these Talking Football Hall of Famers remembrances to, let's do caller three right now. 312-981-7200. Caller three, 312-981-7200. Talking Football Hall of Famers remembrances, three volumes. David Spada, Elliot Harris, 126 Pro Football Hall of Famers talking about their careers in college and the pros, just like our Hall of Famer in studio, Dan Hampton. 312-981-7200. Caller three.
Mark, did we call about who lit it up?
We have not done Who Lit It Up yet. That's coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, Hampo. I mean, OB. Thank
you. All right,
you.
Babe.
You got it? 3:10, we will do Who Lit It Up. Quick timeout right now. We'll get you into news at the top of the hour. The extra, oh, my God. The onside kick did not go the required distance, and the Bears recovered, so they're going to win the football game. But that ball was on the ground for a while, for the record. It was not textbook. But I think we're going to survive.
I know. I think what happened, I think the Bear touched the football and it bounced up in the air.
Yeah, anybody can get it.
And we recovered, so that would have been a live ball. Absolutely.
Bears recover. Bears win. Thank you. This would have been, if they had somehow, that ball was bounding around for a while. But it ended up.
Meredith made a futile attempt to recover it, and it bounced off his chest. Thankfully, Sam Acho was there to get it.
Sam Acho saving the day. All right, quick timeout. Yes.
But I got a time. I've got a story I'd love to tell you people right now. We're playing, folks, at the time the Colts were in Baltimore before moving to Indianapolis. And it was a tight game. It's in the fourth quarter. What happened was we scored right at the end of the game, but we needed the ball back, okay? And it was set up. And our special teams coach told one person that we're going to onside kick it. And that was our kicker. Okay? This is unbelievable, folks.
This is pro football.
Now there's 10 other guys lined up, and they're thinking he's going to kick the ball all the way down there, and they're going to go after him and keep him down there. All right? And they're playing for the onside kick. Baltimore is. They kick it to a kid. I believe his number was 65, a backup offensive lineman. He caught the ball in stride and ran 60 yards right through us for a touchdown. The moron coach of ours forgot to tell the other 10 guys on the kickoff team that we're onsiding it.
That's That's beautiful is what that is.
You, well, let me tell you something.
The Bears
you can't make that story up. Yeah. You could spend a year, you would never think of that one.
Hey, quick timeout. News is next. The Bears are going to win a football game. Clock is running out. 17-14, Bears over the Lions. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN. This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show.
Bears win 17-14 as they beat the Detroit Lions. They will not go 0-16. 1-3, baby. And the Jaguars coming in, and the rather we got the Colts next on the road. The Jaguars after that. Both teams have one win. I'm smelling 3-3, baby. Time for party.
Well, I would say this: it sets up that way. And if they play the way they played today, flying around, they have a chance. Sure.
Heck yeah! Hey guys, come on. Now the one thing about this is of the two teams, Jacksonville won today, but. They, you know, hey, we've got Andrew Luck next week. We got, you know, Matthew Stafford today. We got him kind of boxed up. He didn't hurt us. Now we have a lot more confidence going on the road, playing a darn good quarterback. Not a good team, but a darn good quarterback. But they're going to be desperate. They're going to be, you know, thinking, hey, it's just the Bears.
Here's what happened today, folks. This is exactly what happened. And this started the first day of training camp. They went through training camp, never ready to play. They weren't set up for the entire exhibition season, of which we played four games. The reason why they have exhibition games is so you get ready and you play your players to get ready for the season. We weren't ready through training camp. We weren't ready through the exhibition season. The first 3 weeks, we were not ready to play football. And finally, after 4 weeks today, this afternoon, at home, we finally had Fox and his coaching staff and the position coaches ready to play football. This team looked like they were ready to play football. Not the week before, the week before that, or the opener. They looked terrible. They were just absolutely nowhere on the football field. Today, there was a sense of purpose. There was also what they're going to have to learn, too, to not come down to the last minute of a game. With 4:30 to go in the fourth quarter, we were on, I'm talking about the Bears, on our opponent's 8-yard line. Not one time in four downs did we try to score a touchdown. Not one time, folks. We settle to kick a field goal. You are not going to win a Super Bowl, and that's what you're playing for. We're playing for football like that. There's got to be a purpose. They got to have a killer instinct. And to go down there and not go into the end zone or try to score 6 points, that's not acceptable, folks. I don't care at any level. Well, you guys are going to argue with me about
yes,
this?
Yes. Wait.
You're right.
But here's the point. You're shocked about it.
We're talking about Super Bowl. I just want to win a game.
Am I shocked about it? Yes, no. I am shocked about it because finally you're up and then you got a chance to totally and completely put them away and you don't do it. Danny, that's what you have to do to win. How you win a championship. You were on one of the greatest teams of the greatest team of all time. Hey, did you give anybody a break?
No.
You rammed everything down their throat. Well, that's the attitude that these guys got to have.
Okay, settle down. I agree implicitly, but here's my point. I cannot believe you're shocked that the settler of all settlers, John Fox, would settle for kicking a field goal and taking a 16-6 lead.
I am shocked.
He's the settler.
Wait a minute.
That commercial? Hey, folks.
We don't want to win. We want to settle.
We got 3 minutes left in the first half. We take a knee.
I'm going under the assumption he's a head coach in the National Football League,
not
a settler. That was inexcusable. But, again, for the whole overview of everything, Fox, the offensive defensive coordinator and a position coach, they finally had these kids ready, and you could see it out there today. There was a better attitude. They were hustling. Guys were running. Over 100 yards?
I mean, listen.
Jordan Howard, well over 100.
23 yes. carries, 111 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. Brian Hoyer, and, hey, I don't want to hear about Jay Cutler, and I know it's one game, but he started showing signs in the second half against Dallas today. 28 of 36, 294, two touchdowns. More importantly, no turnovers. And he had 120 quarterback rating. When was the last time we had a quarterback with 120
Josh
quarterback
McCown.
Rating? Yeah, exactly. Another backup from about 4 years ago.
Well, hold on a second. You just said you don't want to talk about it. I mean, that is the conversation.
What I'm saying is, look, it's week one. But if Cutler comes back next week, you go with Brian Hoyer. Right now, this team looks better. Eddie Royals. 7 catches, 111 yards, a touchdown, a 64-yard third down conversion. So
let me give you a stat here. He was 28 of 36 for 302 in the last 2 weeks.
Well, it was 294 because you got to count.
That's with
sack losses and other things. But anyway, go on. All right, 302.
Okay.
You want to give him 302? We'll give him 302.
I'm going to give him
his
the 302.
His quarterback rating was 120.
Right.
So which barring none, it's better than the last guy that was there was Josh. The backup, Josh.
Well,
Cleveland.
What? The key to it was what you two gentlemen are talking about is how did he get ready from last week? He was thrown into the game. They got him ready to play this week. So you got to give kudos to the position coaches and the game planning. I think you have to give him a big thank you. I'm giving him a thank you because I sure as hell didn't want to see him 0-4.
Right.
Oh, my Lord.
28 for 36 for 302 would put him in the last 2 weeks. Hoyer has thrown for over 300 yards with two touchdowns and no interceptions. The last 2 weeks.
No, the last 2 weeks. Didn't he throw for 300 last week?
Right.
Okay.
So 600 yards in 2 weeks.
300, two touchdowns, no picks. Two for two, 2 weeks. Cutler's done that twice in his career. In his career.
Hey,
for the
Mark,
record.
There's no argument. All I'm saying is, right now, we've taken a step forward. I love the fact that Howard ran the ball downhill and, you know, he didn't do a lot of cutting, just went north and south. He had power. And they had an interesting concept. Run the ball, screen, move the pocket, have crossing routes,
run
picking routes.
Right?
I mean, they did a lot of things that they hadn't done the first 3 weeks. So, hey, if they keep it up, this could be, as bad as you started, hey, you got two games you can win in a row, Dan.
Absolutely.
But you got to go to India and win next week.
Let me just also reiterate to the fans out there, we were desperate for the Bears to play better, to win, to not look dysfunctional. We want all these things. But all that being said, we still left a lot to be desired. And the bottom line is, the first 3 weeks, when we are basically shouting from the rooftops, hey, this team isn't prepared. And John Fox is basically, giving us that lackadaisical, nonsense about, oh, yeah, well, we got to clean this up. We were getting physically beat at the line of scrimmage by inferior teams, in my estimation. But the bottom line is, today, the new normal of 0-3, well, guess what? A win's a win. And Detroit is not a great team. We know that. But you can only play who they put on the field, that given day. And so we win. And as you said, Kaz, we go to Indianapolis. They're a bad team. Maybe we can win there. Then we come back against Jacksonville. Maybe we could win that and start gaining our self-respect back.
That's the – Danny, absolutely. You're absolutely – both you gentlemen are totally and completely correct. When you go into the season, if we're on the premise that they're going to have this team ready to go from the get-go – you folks, look at their schedule this year. They will they ever have an easier schedule than they do now. All 16 games combined, they have the second easiest schedule in the National Football League. And again, sometimes I get on something and I really beat on it a little too much, but I tell you the truth, I don't give a damn. This guy did not have this team ready to play, and that's criminal to me. How can you go 0-3? How can you go 0-3 against the teams going against rookie quarterbacks on top of it? Why? Because you didn't have the damn team ready to play football.
Okay,
and
let's
Brian
talk about
Hoyer wasn't your starter yet either.
Wait, Mark's
point.
Okay, yeah. Now let's take this apart a little bit.
The schedule, Dan, is as easy as you're going to get.
Oh well, I mean we've got San Francisco and Washington. I mean these are not.
There's a lot of teams that can beat
exactly
on
this. Exactly what I'm saying.
The powers of the league. But let me just say this. Now, we've played four real games after the four fake games that John Fox and his new normal of just getting embarrassed on a weekly basis was, you know, supposed to placate us. Now, oh, wait a minute. We've got more practices. Now we're starting to realize, oh, we can do this and we can do that. We can bootleg. Oh, it's legal to actually
finally
be able to run the ball, you know, against opponents. You know, against Dallas, we ran the ball 12 times. 12 times. My gosh. I'm just saying, for the first time, it looked like we possess some not only quality players, but some quality schematics where we know what we're doing.
Hampton will be with Kaz, sponsored at the start of the show by Parent Petroleum, also sponsored by Martin Nissan. Bears win 17-14. Good to say it. 1-3. It's 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. Who do you want starting a quarterback
team? I'm going to tell you what.
Brian
Hoyer. If we were to lose this game today, I would bring Pete Mancini in from Parent Petroleum and Todd Martin from Martin Chevrolet out in Crystal Lake, and I'd make them the head coach and the general manager.
You still
that
might
would
wanna,
be it, pal.
You still might want to do that, OB. That's entirely possible. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
The Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win. We've got a quarterback controversy. Seven quarters on the season. Cutler, 25 first downs, 3 turnovers. Brian Hoyer, 9 quarters on the year, 49 first downs, 1 turnover.
I don't think it's a controversy. Brian Hoyer is playing much better.
Really? You think that John Fox is going to make that move? I don't know about that.
If Cutler's ready,
if he's ready,
he will start Cutler.
What do you think, Hamp?
I think all bets are off. And I'll tell you this. Hey, there's 3 phone calls that need to be made today. One, hey, to the Sun-Times, the Trib, saying, hey, the Bears are not, you know, dead on the road. But the second one, to a realtor, looks like Jay Cutler is going to be putting his house up for sale one way or the other. Because, come on, when you get a guy off the scrap heap that comes in and plays – as well as you just outlined. Okay, Dallas's defense isn't great. Detroit's defense, not great. But still, over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 weeks in a row, back-to-back, without turning the ball over. You know, that it starts making everybody go, you know, raise some eyebrows and say, hey, wait a minute. This wasn't, you know, supposed to be so easily done, because we've had a quarterback now for 7-8 years that has made turning the ball over an everyday rite of passage for the team. So I'm just saying, this game, there's going to be reverberations about a lot of things after this game, and the quarterback position is the very first one.
Hey, Obi.
Yeah, what you're talking about is you're dead on, okay? The only thing that I think that if he's ready to go, he'll start. Now, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this season or how it plays out, but I can tell you this. It will be highly questionable if Cutler is here. Why? He is making $19 million this year, folks. 19. I remember when I was about 2 years ago, where he made $23.5 million for the season. Folks, that's playing 16 games. He made $5.5 million more than Aaron Rodgers, and $6 million. $6 million more than the kid from New England.
So you're saying he made $1.3 million standing on the sidelines in his windbreaker?
You got it.
It's crazy.
And I will tell you what I'm saying. He's making $19 million here. And I tell you what, I think this is the last year of that unbelievably stupid, unbelievable contract that was signed. But goody for him. But I'll tell you what. Just jumping back to this game, what I'd love to see is, like, rushing. Detroit only ran for a total of 66 yards, and passing with Stafford at a quarterback, and that's all he does is throw the ball, okay? He only got 213 yards. So, again, kudos to everybody on the Bears. That was really nice to see that they came out ready to go, and they let their actions do their speaking instead of their mouths.
But they still don't know how to finish. And I think, Evan, well, not to go back to what
you said. That's the one big thing, Glenn, that in that fourth quarter on the 8-yard line and you don't try to score, that is not smart football. That you've got to put people away when you have the chance because you never know what's going to happen. And they almost came back and got him.
Yeah, I mean, the Detroit scary almost part got him. There was a, they were an eyelash away from getting that onside kick.
They were. They were.
That was touched at, by
a Bear player Bear bounced player. Up in the air.
And so, you know, this might be a completely different conversation where we're really livid because, again, they blew a 14-point lead or whatever it was with 2 minutes to go in the game.
Hey, who lit it up? Sponsored by Nika IBEW Local 134 Chicago, your complete energy solutions provider. We're talking Brian Hoyer. Why don't we give somebody else credit? Go, what you're pointing at Hamp OB?
I think Hamp and I agreed, and Glenn, I think the three of us agreed on Eddie Royal.
Yeah, okay. So he's 7 targets, 7 catches, 111 yards, almost 16 yards per catch.
Especially the first touchdown,
and,
Hamp.
Absolutely. The touchdown. That was the one that set the tempo for the game.
And then there's the defensive star of the game, guys, brought to you by your local Chevy dealer.
That's at easy.
ChevyDriveChicago.com. Go ahead, Ham.
I got it. And everybody wants to say Jarrell Freeman. And we've done that 3 weeks in a row. Let's break the mold. Guys, let me tell you something. I'm looking on the stat sheet. One of the reasons why the Detroit Lions did not fight Megatron, Calvin Johnson, so hard about coming back, they really felt like, hey, we've got enough other guys that we can count on. One of those guys was Golden Tate. Golden Tate had been a Bear killer. He
missing
had always
action.
Killed him. He was, and why? Because of Bryce Callahan. Back off the concussion
protocol, yeah,
protocol right? Where you have to sit out, and he was out, what, 2 weeks or 3 weeks? I think at least two, if not three.
I think it was one, wasn't it? I mean, he missed last week's game in Dallas.
But, man, I tell you what, he locked down Golden Tate. They tried to get him the ball 4 times. He caught one for 1 measly yard. Bryce Callahan changed the way the Detroit offense. And this was the number 3 offense in football, guys. They were the number 3 passing offense in football.
They were,
and we shut them down.
They were out of sync today. Hey,
I agree. I'll tell you what, Callahan, you're absolutely correct, Daniel.
312-981-7200. Thoughts on the game? Who do you want starting at quarterback? We'll take your calls. 312-981-7200. Trust is everything. Yes, OB.
That's really going to be interesting. Now, listen to some of the people that call in here.
Yeah.
And they hear now all of a sudden the backup.
We'll see.
Now he's the darling, and should we keep Cutler? And boy, oh boy.
Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side, jeffvuk.com.
Yeah, Vuk, his dad, had one of the best restaurants in Des Plaines.
Is there anyone in this town you're not friends with, out of curiosity?
Huh?
Is there?
He knows everybody.
Well,
he's the Jay official Cutler. Yeah, he doesn't know Jay Cutler.
I was born and raised there. I went to Proviso High School, which is in Maywood. I went to the University of Illinois.
And give yourself credit.
And I played for the greatest franchise in the history of this game. And if it wasn't for Halas and a team called the Chicago Bears, what the hell is going on around this country never would have been,
but
pal.
But you're a lovable guy, too, OB. People
hey,
love you.
It's just politics.
You have no choice but to say that.
It's just politics.
That's true. That's true.
No
there's only one door out, and he's between you and the door.
Hey, it's just politics keeping him from being mayor.
All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears beat the Lions 17-14, 1-3, as the Bears finally get into the win column. Great game for Brian Hoyer, 28 of 36. Jordan Howard, 111 yards rushing the football. The Bears looked a whole lot more focused today as well. Time now for Who Brought It? Sponsored by your Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card. You know what to bring through it all. Who's taking Who Brought It here, team? OB, you look like you want it.
No, I was. I've got another thing after. I want
oh, another
to say something
thing.
After
I would say
Who
Jordan,
Brought It.
Jordan Howard, 23 carries, 111 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. And really, that truly, Dan, was what was missing with the Bears offense. Although we actually thought about giving it to the offensive coordinator today because he finally made adjustments and really had a good game plan.
Absolutely. And let me also say this, that talking about adjustments quickly, you know, this defense missing, easily some of their best players. Eddie Goldman being out, Danny Trevathan being out. We all McPhee, he's been a huge void. But and of course the Lamar Houston. Those are four big, powerful playmakers that we don't have. So all that being said, for this defense to man up and do so well, especially in the back seven covering today, but more importantly, Detroit came out and went hurry up at the first drive of the second half. They got the ball. They were going. But like I said, we made some adjustments and we forced a turnover. And after that, they kind of imploded. So you're right. Dow Loggins made some really, really nice adjustments with the game plan, getting ready to attack their defense. But conversely, hey, you got to say, hey, for the first time this year, we had some answers on defense as well.
Absolutely. I agree. Glenn, I agree with you. Danny, I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I'm going to tell you, there's one other little category. I don't know what the heck we would put this one in. But the Lions, folks, came in here for the fourth game. They were the fourth ranked offense in the National Football League, 4 out of 32. They gained a total of 66 yards on the ground against us, a total of 213 in the air. Fourth ranked offense, our defense basically met the challenge, and which Dan said, and with basically a couple of guys that did not play, they're hurt, they can't, but boy, the people stepped in, and they, I'm going to tell you what, from the opening bell, the defense came after him, and they answered the bell.
Well, Stafford threw two picks today, and both times he was looking at his wide receivers like, what in the world are you doing? Their communication was awful.
Okay, well, here, but more than that.
There's got to be a reason for that, yeah, because of the defense that the Bears were playing.
Exactly.
They were mixing it up back there. They're going from zone to man, a revolve. They were doing all kinds of things. But the key is, when you, after four games, that's pretty damn well set. They're the fourth best offense in the National Football League. They come in here to a team that's in disarray. I'm talking about the Bears. And the Bears show up and only give them 66 on the ground and 213 on the air. Kudos to Fangio. Kudos to the Bear players. Damn it, they played well.
Absolutely. I mean, come on. Like you said, this is Matt Stafford. By the way, another real quick shout-out. You're talking about money. I think he's the fourth highest paid player in football. I think Cutler was sixth. Well, both those guys in the stadium today were the second and third best quarterback. Brian Hoyer outplayed them all.
Well, I agree with you, Dan. I'll tell you what.
You got to give the kid credit.
Yes, you do. And what I'm really surprised is that Detroit guys really didn't come after him. Didn't come after Hoyer.
I think they tried to, but the Bears.
No, they didn't.
You're right. They didn't blitz. They thought they could get with them with four down linemen.
I counted maybe right, about six blitzes, I think, that I can remember. Seven, something like that. But I'll tell you what, I'm a firm believer of being so very aggressive on defense. And if I was playing Hoyer, and, you know, they needed a win too, pal. You know, they were 1-2 coming
four,
in here.
Their four didn't they thought their four could handle our five.
Well, no, they didn't. And I'm going to tell you something. They made a big mistake by not going after Hoyer. So we'll see what happens next week. But things are what they are. Hoyer played a hell of a game.
312-981-7200. Quarterback controversy. It's the way of Chicago, the way of the Bears. Let's get Mike in Rockford on the program. Been waiting a while. What's up, Mike?
Guys, great to talk to you as always. You know, I'm not one of these guys that says, oh, because one backup quarterback has a great game and get rid of Cutler. But I've been unhappy with Cutler for many, many years since he's been here. And, you know, I just got to say, and half you guys know this, in 85, Jim McMahon was a great leader. He was a great quarterback. You know, he wasn't a great quarterback. He was a great leader. He was durable. But you guys didn't win because of him. You won because of Walter Payton, your stout defense, your offensive line, special teams won that. That's what won that championship. The Bears, if they could focus around a mediocre game managing quarterback and build up those lines and get the special teams guys, I'm telling you, that's how you're going to win in this league. I know it's a quarterback league in the game now, but it's just, I think the Bears could do well. Cutler, just to me, it seems like everybody was playing with more enthusiasm today. I don't know if Cutler's just such, you know, when I played high school football, we had a guy on our team, I won't mention his name, but nobody liked him. And he got hurt our junior year, and they brought in the quarterback that ended up playing quarterback for the last 2 years, and everybody played around him. And, guys, it makes a big difference.
It does. You're right, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
Hey, Mike, and you may get your wish. That's exactly what Brian Hoyer is. He's a journeyman game manager that is not going to force the ball most of the time. He's going to take what, you know, the defenses give. And hey, come on. It's a big field. Defenses, there's places they have to give it, and he took it today.
For the record, last year, Brian Hoyer, in the regular season with the Houston Texans, threw 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, at a quarterback rating on the year of 91.4. If you look at Cutler's game log from last year, as I pull it up here, it is, they're very, very...
As you're trying to stoke the flames here.
Absolutely. Well,
Hoyer really had a bad playoff game. That's why he ended up out of, from the Texan in Houston.
He was a disaster in the playoffs. Cutler last year he threw 21 touchdowns, so two more, 11 interceptions, two more interceptions, quarterback rating of 92.3. I mean, you're talking about the same guy, really, at the end of the day. So, and one is a lot cheaper. That's the reality.
And it really looks like the team offensively have rallied around him, and they're playing harder because that group was fractured. Dan, we talked about it after Cutler threw that last pick and against Philadelphia came off the field. The defensive players that aren't even playing are screaming at him, and you know, it was like offense against defense, and Hoyer then gets inserted, and you see a different attitude and a different approach.
I mean,
all the way
Dan,
around.
You know, you played the game long enough, Dan. We've all played the game long enough. I'm going to tell you, when Cutler gets well and he gets the okay from the doctor,
he's going
to start, folks. There's no question about it. Now, how long he'll go, how long he could stay healthy in the game, I don't know. Now, if he goes down a second time and he can't play and Hoyer comes in and steps up what he's done since Cutler's been out, then all bets are off. Then all bets are off.
312-981-7200. I mean, Hampton, in all your years playing, can you ever remember accosting a quarterback coming off the field like Pernell McPhee did to Cutler? Did that ever happen to anyone?
Hey, that's outside the bounds. Come on, it really is. And if any defense should have had the opportunity or right to be able to do that, it was us.
Right.
Now, we would blank them out in the locker room, but we wouldn't try to, you know, upstage them on the field. But more importantly, And again, my take on that, and your point is, Kaz, that, hey, there's a fracture in the team because that happened. I'm just saying, you know, I know, nobody wants to be pulling on the wagon with somebody riding it. Everybody wants to see everybody pulling and all that. So that being said, maybe the head coach isn't doing his job as far as, you know, poking the right people and singling out people that he wants more from and all that. So now the players think they need to, or it's their opportunity to do so. So, again, I think it's a reflection on John Fox.
Well, is there anything better than when Hamp goes Arkansas Hamp and we start hearing pulling on the wagon, people sitting on it? That's the best. I love when we get Arkansas Hamp.
You get the hillbilly logic.
Yeah.
And it makes sense all the time, too.
It does.
When you ask me that question,
yeah,
I'm going to tell you what. Did a player come up and accost another player or say words from the sideline?
Well, quarterback, though.
When I played?
Yeah.
On a weekly basis. And that was even during the championship year. Yeah. I won't go into the stories, but Doug Atkins, he didn't go to the guys on offense. He went to the head coach, who just happened to be the owner, and he took off after him. So
you tell me the quarterback,
Dan, you guys probably haven't seen it, but I saw it. I mean, hell, I thought it was just a weekly thing. That's what you do.
That's unbelievable. Three different era right there. 312-981-7200. Look at the smile on OB's face. Could go back and do it again right now.
I'll tell you what, that was the toughest era in the history of this game so far.
Yeah,
the
that's decades when men of the 60s, were men.
Yeah.
That was the most violent decade in football. And unfortunately, I played in it.
and look at the mess you created.
Yeah. We've
got lawsuits everywhere now.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your...
I don't know where that's coming from, but all right, quick timeout. 720 WGN.
This is what you get.
They're following the penalty. First and goal from the Lions 4. Hoyer. And found the one. Robert turns right. Touchdown,
17-14, Bears. Both the Bears
great win.
And the Lions now 1 and three. One better than none. Hey, the drive of the game is sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Click patrickcars.com. This is Hampton OB with Kaz. Kaz, you've got the drive of the game for us.
It was the second drive of the day for the Chicago Bears. They had 10 plays. They went 67 yards, and they scored a touchdown, as you heard right there. Eddie Royals making a great catch on first down. And more importantly, Brian Hoyer flushed out of the pocket, stayed alive, didn't try to sprint up the field, bought time, and hit the open receiver. So nice play across the board.
Smart play.
And again, it set the template for the way we were going to play the rest of the day. We had a lead. The defense started taking, you know, some chances. They were more aggressive. We really got after Stafford. But more importantly, we needed a win, folks. We had not won at Soldier Field in darn near 364 days or something like that. So not only that, we had lost to Detroit six straight. We had lost eight straight at home. So there were all these different things working against us. That drive put us in a position where we could win.
The drive did it too, but then again, what kept us alive for four quarters, obviously, is going up against the fourth-ranked offense in the National Football League, and the defense stood up and met the challenge. Kept us in the game.
Yep, 312-981-7200. We are on WGN Radio, but also you can watch us on CLTV from 3 until 4, which I know there's not much time left, but you want to catch a little bit of the TV broadcast with you for another couple of minutes here. Let's get Ryan in Wheaton, who's been on hold for half an hour on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, yeah. Quick question, did Brian Hoyer get his number retired by you guys today?
Oh,
might as well, right? We won a game, so let's retire his jersey.
Basically listening to you guys the last half hour, I would say so. Quick question, have you watched the same Bears team I have the last 2 years?
Obviously, you just turned us in because we have been lighting them up most of the day. But yeah, look, it's a victory. They did all they could to win, and they did all they could to try and give it away at the end. We acknowledge the fact that we were an eyelash away from an onside kick,
Ryan,
and maybe trying to defend a mad rush by
rather than attacking. Ryan, what do you want to see? You want Cutler back in the lineup? That's the key to victory. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, first of all, problem number one wouldn't be the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the worst defense last year. All right, the defense played great today. I mean, I'm not going to lie. We put up 17 points against the Detroit Lions.
Okay. Ryan, do you want Cutler quarterback in the team? Do you want to pay 16, 17, 19, and 22 million for him?
I think
100%. He's got a quarterback-friendly contract.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Just if you want to stick with Cutty, that's fine. You can make that point.
Well,
him off?
I did.
He wasn't making much sense other than he wanted to. He must be a Lions fan.
I think he was chiding us because we've been very complimentary so far about the fact that Brian Hoyer had some good numbers. He was in command of the offense, and he was the winning quarterback. Think about this. Guys make a lot of money. They got beat today. Joe Flacco got beat. Matt Stafford got beat. Last week, Carson Palmer got beat. I mean, a great quarterback, it's part of the plan, but it's not the complete plan. It was a good team effort, but most importantly, we're talking about the fact that this offense, which looked totally, completely unprepared and unmotivated for three straight games, finally came out and did some things. It got out of their own way, and they made some things happen. And you got to give the quarterback some kudos when that happens.
Cutler's contract next year would be $16 million, then $17 million, then $20 million, and then $22 million. This guy's making $2 billion. At some point, you have to move on and develop a quarterback as well. I mean, these are real questions the Bears are going to have to answer. You're not going to ride out Cutler for close to $20 million for another 4 years. You're just not going to do that.
No, and first and foremost, you know, the way this, you know, the next 12 games are going to tell us an awful lot about not only the future of John Fox and some of these coaches, but some of these players. First among them, Jay Cutler. And as you know, Cutler has not really endeared himself thus far this season. You know, this thumb, some spotty performances, you know, obviously the first half against the Philadelphia Eagles. He did nothing to really make himself look, like we could do without him. So, you know, hey, for this moment in time, we're going to say, Brian Hoyer, congratulations. You played great today. We needed all of it, but hey, we'll see what happens next week.
Just quickly, more important than this quarterback situation here, okay, we've got to keep – listen, it takes every guy on that football team to win a game. It all adds up after 60 minutes. And you got to play by what the rules give you. This is a passing game. We got to get more involved with passing. Well, White was hurt last year. He didn't play. I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear it, not at this level. You go and you attack people. You move downfield. You be aggressive. We won today. Let's keep it up. Next week, we go down. Is it Baltimore? Indianapolis we go to?
The Colts.
We go play the Colts next week. Let's go with a great positive attitude and let the four wins go. Just go after them. Hell-bent for leather defensively and offensively. Attack, go downfield. Act like you know what you're doing.
We're going to hear from John Fox coming up after the 4 o'clock.
I can hardly wait.
Yeah, it's going to be scintillating. We'll have fun with it, though. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Second and final hour, Hamp and OB with Kaz. As we are presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. First time all year we get to actually talk about a victory. Bears did beat the Lions 17-14. The food from the food. We'll say that again.
For talking about it because we were being too nice to the Bears. It's a victory finally.
Yes,
you take it any way you can.
Well,
speaking of victories on the PGA of the Ryder Cup,
okay,
the U.S. team has finally opened up a little can of you know what on the Europeans. It's good to watch finally.
Yeah, they're at 14 with two matches, the USA leading and Europe leading one. So it'll come down to the wire, but looks like we're in good shape.
It's very rare that I ever see the TV channel changed in the pre-production room, but you guys were flipping back and forth. They get in the golf.
This is riveting, though. You know, yeah. It's America against the world, basically, and we've been horrible at it the last few years, and our pros finally got punched in the chest and it fell down. So they're playing like guys that know how to compete finally.
Food tasted a lot better today from Mr. Submarine. That food's always delicious there. But that's old school.
That's a home run.
Yeah, but after a Bears win, it just was so much better. Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine locations throughout Chicagoland.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Sal Kachoki and Carm Scarpace. They're just new with us at Westfield Ford.
They're the best.
They're right on Mannheim Road and Route 66, and they're just long old-time friends. And another old-time friend, Joe Coletta. And I know these people were at the ball game, so I just want to give them a shout-out and hello and give them a thank you.
Well, and the quarterback comparison is sponsored by Westfield Ford. Westfield Ford, where straightforward people and straightforward prices are just a whistle away. Here are the numbers. 28 of 36 for Brian Hoyer, 302 yards. Two touchdowns, no interceptions, was sacked twice for a loss of 8 yards. Quarterback rating of 120.1. And then Matthew Stafford was awful today. 23 of 36. It was terrible communication, too, so don't put it all on his shoulders. But the numbers, 23 of 36, 213 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, sacked twice for a loss of 16 yards, quarterback rating of 56.8.
We were thinking that was going to be the opposite. We think Stafford's going to have the rating of 120 plus.
Yep, but that's the Matthew Stafford, right? He can be great and he can be awful.
Well, and it was the secondary that did a great job of covering up those receivers, not giving him windows and targets, and he was flustered.
Danny, the numbers show it.
His feet were terrible, though. Matthew Stafford, and you watch any quarterback in the National Football League, when you have your feet side by side or just a little bit apart, you can't throw the ball. You can't put anything on it to throw it. So, it looked, technique-wise, Matthew Stafford was horrible today.
He really
and
was.
That's where Hoyer, I give the kid credit. He squares up, drops the hips, and lets the ball go. It looks good.
And he just it looks like he's comfortable. Feels like he knows what he's doing.
Well, when you don't put any pressure on any quarterback, you know, in the National Football League, they're going to light you up.
And that's
just the truth of the matter.
And that's the thing with Hoyer, too. When pressured, not very good. Hey, let's hear from John Fox, sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group and sponsored by Martin Chevy, our fearless leader, OB.
Todd Martin is our fearless leader. I'd rather have Todd Martin than him right now. Well, tell you the truth, the situation we're in, I'm talking about.
Let's see if the Foxy had anything interesting to say. Here's John Fox after the game.
All right. The injury that we'll report is Kevin White ankle. He left the game, did not return. We had a couple dings out there. Leonard Floyd went out for a few plays. He could have gone back in. We did not put him back in. Same thing with Tracy Porter.
What do those guys have, John?
Calf and knee.
Why didn't Leonard go back in?
We didn't feel the need to. Any other questions?
What did you think of the running game today? What was the difference in getting that going?
Well, I think we executed. I think that had been our problem in the first three games that we had. That, you know, we didn't execute for 60 minutes. And I think... it helps when you do that. I think, there was a lot of guys that worked very hard in the preparation all week. I think our O-line blocked much better, both in the run and the pass. You know, Brian's, kind of moved the ball around quite a bit as far as receiver use. You know, Jordan Howard, Joik Bell when he got in, I thought ran the ball very physical, very hard. But, I thought we blocked much, much better in this game.
What impression was about the defense?
Well, I think it was pretty lights out. You know, I think most of them, weren't real pleased with our performance last week in Dallas and responded in a very, really focused week of preparation. That's a talented offense. You know, they've got a lot of weapons. They've scored a lot of points, and they're very capable.
So there you go, John Fox in a tunnel.
Actually, he's got Trump's microphone from the debate.
Set up by who knows who, but the same echo.
Hey, yep, that's a hell of a line, pal.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a line.
Let me just say this. Him saying, well, we weren't happy with the way we played in Dallas. Well, who's the head coach?
Week before that and the week before that?
The preparation, the game planning, all the other things that go into it. So finally, it comes to fruition, and we get a win.
Yeah. The bottom line is, and we've talked about it, is they weren't ready to play. There isn't a person that has half a brain that is supposedly some kind of a pundit or an authority about reporting on the Bears. I can't figure that. I mean, come on. It's right in front of you. When they were down there, they did nothing. I saw it.
Ed,
we all saw it.
You still
did nothing in the exhibition game. What the hell did they think was going to happen? We're going to go 4-0?
Yeah, I mean,
reality smacks you right in the face, folks.
And the best point of the day, from my perspective, Ed, is what you said in the beginning, and you were upset about the fact that when the Bears had a chance to put the Lions away, they didn't even try to. They were dinking and dunking. And this, I'm thrilled we won, but we won 17-14, and literally they almost converted an onside kick that would have given us all, our hearts would have been beating fast. And that's a game that should have been put away.
Absolutely, and that's the time they had to put it away with that 10:30 left to go in the fourth quarter on the eight-yard line. And, folks, how do you not go into the end zone and try to score a touchdown on first down, second down, third down? If they're covered, throw the ball out of the end zone. Then if you want to go for it on fourth down, go for it, or if not, kick the field goal. But don't play football. Don't play scared-to-death football. You play scared-to-death football, Fox, you're in the wrong league.
Speaking of scared-to-death football, or just, I don't know, whatever you just said, maybe think about the kicker. Connor Barth is terrible.
He's horrible, but look, it was a money issue, ultimately, right? I mean,
that other kid, Gould or Gold, is he out of the league?
Yeah, he's not anywhere.
No one's picked him up.
But nobody's really struggling with field goals right now, with the exception of our guy. Prater hit a 59-yarder or 50-yarder, and it could have went 69 today with the distance he had, right? Dan, I mean, the kid blasted it.
He sure did.
I mean, when you watch the trajectory on Connor Barth's kicks, he barely makes it halfway up the uprights.
Well, and obviously that's another one of the decisions made by John Fox and Ryan Pace, to basically go with him as the kicker instead of Robbie Gould. But guys, I really think we would be remiss after we have beat the offensive line to death for 3 weeks. Today, they actually showed up, and they actually did a fine job. And, the Detroit Lions aren't supermen on the defensive line, but we, protected the passer pretty darn well. We only gave up 2 sacks for 8 yards, but we had a running game for the first time all year, with Jordan Howard going for 111. So a lot of good stuff on the offensive line for a change.
Which reflects, Dan, they finally, the position coaches with the Fangio and with our offensive coordinator, they finally got them ready to play football. They got them ready. They were out there right from the get-go. They were crisp, hitting hard, doing what they should have been doing the prior three games.
312-981-7200. Hey, starting on Monday, WGN-TV presents Cubs Nightly. It's a nightly show for everything Cubs for as long as they're in the baseball playoffs. We know that's going to the end of October, early November. Watch Cubs Nightly, weeknights at 6 on WGN-TV starting on Monday. We'll hear from the quarterback and hear from you coming on back. Adam Hogue with us at 4:35. Blackhawks hockey tonight at 5. Hawks on the road versus the Detroit Red Wings. Judd Surratt warming up in the bullpen for the pregame show. Yes,
you think the Hawks have a chance to do it this year?
Absolutely. Well, of course.
It's this every other year. This is their
like
year again, right?
A couple of people that were around here from before.
The Blackhawks are going to be just fine.
Every other year they win the Stanley Cup, so this is the year they do it again, I believe, right?
Okay.
Preseason hockey is here. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and Chevy Drive Chicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win 17-14. And Geez, I need to hit your talk back. Thank you very much.
And what?
The Patriots have dropped from the list of the undefeateds. 16-0. Buffalo Bills beat them.
That, to me, was my lock of the week. And Dan and I talked about this. And something about Rex Ryan. He just finds a way to motivate his players. There's a guy, love him or hate him, he gets his teams ready to play for the most part, especially in big games.
They got it done today. I thought New England was never going to lose a game. I mean, they're winning with Jacoby Brissett. They're winning with Jimmy Garoppolo. Tom Brady's back next week.
They don't have Brian Hoyer.
If they had Hoyer, you know what? Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Dan.
But
with Hoyer.
His jersey's been retired now. Hey, by the way, and you brought up Kevin White's name earlier. You know, there was talk in this town that he was the next David Terrell for a while.
Yep.
He's starting to look like
a pro.
Exactly. He's finding a way to get open. He's getting physical when he gets the ball after the catch, all these different things. So that's great. And Eddie Rumor is now Mr. Royal. Has been great this year.
That's the most exciting thing about Kevin White, Hamp, right? It's not that you're seeing this breakaway speed, but when he catches the ball, he tries to run over guys. You don't see that every day.
He's physical, yeah.
So I like that. Hey,
you know what? Some people really stood out. I tell you, Hoyer, you know, I'm just looking at this one stat here. You know, pass attempts, you know, the average game for pass play, his average was 7.7. People, that's huge. Average game, that's huge. 7.7.
It'll be very interesting to see what John Fox does this week. You want to hear from him?
I'm just telling you, that's big, okay? Stafford had 5.2, but anytime you're in the sevens, you get eights. You get in the eights, that's monstrous. So he had a hell of a day, boys. That really shows it right there, that one stat. Wow, 7.7. Big time stuff.
Let's hear from the quarterback of your Chicago Bears, at least today, Brian Hoyer. In three.
Brian, where
two.
Are you?
I know you're there, Brian. I can feel you, Brian. Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, well, it helped to have the run game going. I think, you know, I've mentioned it before. When you get the run game going, it opens up a lot of things. So we ran the ball well, and we're able to get some of those, especially at the end of the game when we were trying to, you know, kill the clock a little bit.
When the running game is working and it allows you to use that play action, how does that make things easier on you in terms of what you see?
I think being balanced, you keep the defense guessing, you know. So we got a little bit more of two high looks than we thought, and you know that allowed us to run the ball. And then when they came down at a single high, we were able to throw it a little bit better. So I think just, you know, like I said, the balance of the offense, you keep the defense on their toes.
What was the thought process on a touchdown to Eddie? Because you scrambled out to the right and it looked like he was really never complete.
Yeah, he made a really quick movement. I think he went out and then came back in and I saw it and just tried to put it on him. I mean, he made a phenomenal catch. So that was good to get the game started and cap that drive off.
On the long crossing route.
Like well, they, you know, on that coverage, they went to double Alshon a little bit, which left the middle of the field open. When I saw the double on Alshon, I started to look right, and as I came back across, Eddie had beat his man, and obviously a huge play.
Eddie was obviously banged up in the preseason. When did you kind of notice that, hey, he can
be that old guy?
Oh, from day one when I got here in OTAs. I mean, I've always had a lot of respect for Eddie Royal, whether he was in Denver, San Diego, here as a receiver. He can kind of do it all. I mean, he can be a slot. He can be outside. He's a good route runner. And, you know, so when I was watching through OTAs, obviously training camp, we lost him for a little bit. But I've always been impressed with him as being a total receiver, not just a slot guy, not being outside. You know, so to get a chance to work with him has been fun.
Spreading the ball around to a lot of different receivers, and what effect does that have on the offense overall?
I'm not very conscious about it. It's just going through reads and progressions and trying to take what the defense gives you.
Did you guys do anything for pass protection today, and how did it feel? It looked like you were able to run.
Yeah, they did a great job. I mean, really, the two sacks are probably on me. You know, try to change the protection on the first one, and the second one, try to step up a little bit better. So they've done a great job of protecting me, and I think that's kind of coming along with them, you know, getting together and molding together. Because really, that unit hasn't been together, you know, only for 4 weeks with Josh and then Cody moving over to center. So I think they're coming together, and there's proof in that.
Fine, you guys were efficient on first down today, some good drive starters. Has that been a point of emphasis in Dallas?
For sure, for sure. I think one way to make third down easier is to have a better first and second down. So it was something that's been emphasized from the last few weeks, and to be able to go out and execute it. I think, you know, you guys have been asking me, you know, what needs to get changed. It's just going out and executing, and I think we did a good job of that today.
What happened in the exchange?
So there you go, Brian Hoyer. Do you notice how he sounds there? A lot of energy in that voice. I don't know if it turns...
Well, he wasn't stuttering or stammering, and he fired it out.
He could barely remember who he threw the first touchdown pass to. He did this, he did that. But I like how he was kind of retaking through the plays and what he saw.
But he's talking about when you get third down situation, which is the most important down, they were 5 of 13 for 38%. But mostly about two-thirds of the way through, he was running at 50% in conversion rate, which is pretty damn good. But he wound up with 38%. Detroit was at 33%. You want to win football games and get on that way to the Super Bowl, got to be a hell of a lot better than that.
Keep it moving here. Let's take a quick call, 312-981-7200. Wayne in Lafayette, Indiana, wants to talk about the coaching. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Doug, OB, great respect, Kaz, all you guys, man. Always the best to you. Big Doug would have been proud of the Bears today, OB.
You betcha. You bet
you. You betcha, buddy. He's been out of all, but he's loved it, man. Anyway, yeah, you guys, a couple of years ago, Trestman and Tucker found a way to lose this game right here. And we thank God. I think Fangio needs a game ball today because he took what they can scab together. They've got some major losses on that defense, and he put together a very good defense today, and they really played their butts off.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate it.
You know what, Wayne? Let me just add on to that. I'm a proponent of aggressiveness, of going after people. You got that 60 minutes to pull out a victory. And Fangio was known, and somebody correct me here if I'm wrong, Dan or Glenn. He was known. I mean, you run a 3-4 defense. It's confusion and pressure,
right.
Real pressure.
Got to get after
again,
people.
Again, I'm looking at I think I could almost count, you know, I don't know, not too many times where they blitz, Dan. They basically go with a four-man rush. It's a three-down lineman, but if you want to call one of the stand-up outside linebackers a down lineman, fine. But they came with four guys for the most part of the game. They got two sacks, but I'd still like to see them bring it more. Just blitz. They've got some people, and I know Trevathan's hurt. You know, he's out. So, Danny, maybe Trevathan not playing. And I don't think they want to commit Freeman in blitzing and give up what they've got as a basic as a linebacking core. But, boy, I sure as hell would like to see a lot more blitzes coming up here the next several games. Excuse me, the rest of the season.
It's going to be
more pressure, Dan.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what he wants to cook up for Andrew Luck. And we all know a little bit about
you got to keep Luck in the pocket, right, Danny?
Yep, yeah. He traditionally doesn't want to get out, but he can. And most importantly, he's got a huge arm, and he can find the guys that uncover down the field if there is opportunities. But the one thing is, with the way these young kids are covering Jacoby Glenn and Callahan, and today DeAndre Hall gets a pick.
Yep.
These young kids, I'm telling you. And Adrian Amos and Harold Jones-Korte, these kids are playing some great football back there. He will become more emboldened and trust them, and now he will start to blitz a little more.
What verifies what you say, Danny, they gave up, what, 213 yards against a hell of a passer in Stafford?
Third-rated offense, yeah. Throwing the ball in the league.
And the front down lineman gave up only 66 yards. That's playing football, folks. That's winning football.
Andrew Luck loves to turn the football over, so there will be opportunities next Sunday down in Indy. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich, jeffvuk.com, serving our area for 38 years. Nationwide is on your side. jeffvuk.com. Adam Hoag from Soldier Field right after the 4:30 news right here on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears win, Bears win. 17-14.
Boy, did they need it.
Boy, did they.
Woo.
I think you needed it, OB. The rest of your day is going to be that much better, isn't it?
Well.
And Hamp and Kaz. Don't worry about me, by the way.
You know, the three of us. And
we're not.
And, you know, there's people, needless to say, how the power and the strength the Bears have in this city and actually throughout the National Football League, they've been around the longest. And to see what's happening, you know, and they've got such a short time to make a statement and get it done. And, boy, to go 0-3 and now to come with a victory and Now I'm kind of thinking like, well, okay, we go down to Indianapolis, maybe we pull one out, then we got Jacksonville here,
right.
We get momentum going, and the rest of the, you know, you just got to look at the rest of the Bears' schedule, folks, I'm telling you.
It ain't over.
Yes. Yeah, somehow, if they can really put this thing together and really become aggressive on both sides of the ball, because they can't sit back there and they can't be catchers. Boy, they got to be punchers. They got to go after people. Who the hell knows what could happen?
And 0-4 last time for the Bears 15 years ago with Dick Geron.
Oof. There's a memory. Hey, the Adam Hoag Locker Room Report, sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda, thank you, online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Adam Hoag covering his first victory of the year, also a happier camper. You know, it was yesterday on this very station that I told Adam Hoag that Brian Hoyer should be the quarterback of this team, and he violently disagreed with me.
You mean like for the rest of the year?
Well, yes.
You had to mean it for that.
Yeah, I did. I do.
Okay.
I just think it's time to move on. Hoagie, are you willing to admit that I was right and you were wrong? Go ahead.
Absolutely not. No chance. What do you think Jay Cutler would have done today with that good of pass protection and a good running game, 111 yards from a running back on 23 carries, which is only the second time since John Fox became head coach that he's had a running back over 100 yards rushing in a game. I think Jay Cutler would have been just fine with guys like Eddie Royal making the catches he did today. Cam Meredith made a nice catch. I'm not trying to take anything away from what Brian Hoyer did today. It was good, solid performance. He was efficient. But Jay would have been just fine with the kind of protection and running game that he had complementing his performance today.
And also the offensive line, the best performance by them thus far through the year. And the one thing is, you know, we were listening to some of John Fox's comments, and we still have one big question. You know, we're just a breath away from Detroit getting the onside kick at the end because we didn't do anything to try to really put the game away. OB was having a coronary. And the bottom line is we're on the 6-yard line, and we never even try to throw it into the end zone. We're trying to pound it in and then accept a field goal.
Yeah, Adam, you know, you talk about the good things, and there were, and we're happy for it, believe me. But I'll tell you, you want to talk about the mistake of the game, and it almost caught up to us. It was 10:30 to go in the fourth quarter. We're on the 8-yard line, and not one time do we try to score a touchdown. Not one time. Put it away, get the killer instinct, make a statement, you're 0-3, let's put this game away. Not one time, if the receiver or the back who's in the end zone, if he's covered, throw the ball into the stands, make somebody go home with a football, be happy about it, and then kick your field goal. But boy, when you don't go in and you don't try to put six on the board, that bothers the hell out of me, I can tell you that.
Well, and guys, you look back at what kind of maybe cost John Fox his job in Denver, at least what created a lot of the friction with John Elway. It's exactly what you're talking about, the conservative nature and maybe not being aggressive enough late in games. That was kind of a sticking point there, and I think that's something you correctly pointed out today, that they certainly could have been more aggressive late in the game, and it did come down to kind of a dicey situation with an onside kick, because the Bears special teams today, quite frankly, was horrendous, I mean, at all levels, and you know, I didn't think Eddie Royal had a great game returning. Deontay Thompson did have a nice kick return, but Connor Barth misses another field goal. Oh. You have penalties on you know, more block in the backs. You allow that return for a touchdown late in the game, which could have been a killer. So, you know, John Fox talked about playing four complete quarters of football on all three phases. That did not happen today, and let's not ignore that. I mean, first of all, the second quarter for both teams was one of the worst quarters of football I've ever seen. I mean, what made you want to fall asleep by halftime? And then the Bears on the third phase were just really bad from start to finish.
Yeah, the nice thing, though, was that the defense did fly around today. And, you know, the Lions defensively looked like they were really not that interested. It was unique to watch this team that was, you know, they're sitting at 1-2 also. So it's not like either team has beaten anybody up. And the Bears were much more hungry today than the Lions by
far. Well, the Lions defense is not good, guys, and you got to remember that. And the Bears still only scored 17 points today. So getting back to Carm wanting to crown Brian Hoyer starting quarterback, and what, you want to give him like a 5-year contract?
No. I just don't want to pay the guy that you have $17 million next year when you can pay Brian Hoyer probably five or less. And you're talking about a guy who in the last 2 weeks has gone for over 300 yards and thrown two touchdown passes and wasn't intercepted. He did that twice in the last 2 weeks. Cutler's done it twice in his entire career. I mean, and I know they were playing the Cowboys last week, and I know they're playing the Lions this week, but I'm not paying Jay Cutler close to $20 million to be the quarterback of this team anymore. I'm just not doing it.
Well, you're going to do it for the rest of this year. Anyway, right. Yeah. I mean, Adam, just explain it to Mark that you just can't get rid of him and not pay him. It's this thing.
Hey, Adam, going back to that fourth quarter, you know, on the 8-yard line or so there, I wonder if there was a conversation between the offensive coordinator up in the booth and Fox calling those plays. Do you think maybe the offensive coordinator called for a corner route, you know, or crossing ends, or a skinny post or something down there, and Fox called it off?
It's possible. I mean, that's usually where you certainly don't have the head coach calling the specific plays, but, yeah, it's very frequent to especially with a young coordinator who's not all that established, to have the head coach say, hey, look, here's what I want to do in this situation. You know, let's be careful. Let's not make any mistakes. Maybe run the football. And then that kind of minimizes what the coordinator is going to call.
Our Bears reporter, our Bears insider, Adam Hoge, live right now from Soldier Field. The injury report brought to you by the Rogers Auto Group in the New South Loop. How'd they come out health-wise? I know that Kevin White's got an ankle injury, and that's too bad because he was great today.
Yeah, that's the only one that kind of appears on the official injury report that the Bears had to tell us about. So that's something to monitor this week. It is an ankle injury for Kevin White. But otherwise, Leonard Floyd had a calf injury and did not return to the game, although John Fox said he could have. They just didn't feel the need to put him back in. So maybe they're just being careful because they had a lead. And then Tracy Porter took himself out of the game. He had a knee injury. He said it just wasn't feeling right.
He didn't look good.
So he felt like someone else could have done a better job than him at that point. He just felt too limited. He said he doesn't expect it to be a problem this week. So neither of those injuries are serious. But Kevin White's potentially could be, and is something to monitor.
All right, as we look forward to the next couple of weeks, you had to feel a little sense of optimism, thinking, hey, you know, Indianapolis, not a great team. We've got a definite chance of going down and playing a good game, getting a win, and then coming back against a Jacksonville team that finally, you know, got off the snide today.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's think about the Colts, who are on a plane right now coming back from London. They're going to, you know, get in a little bit later and have to deal with the time zone change. And that's just some, you know, another added thing that they're going to have to deal with, as they're also 1-3 and kind of licking their wounds. So a winnable game there next week, and a winnable game the following week against Jacksonville. You know, there's been a lot of comparison so far between the way last year started and this year. And once again, you get a week 4 home victory and you're 1-3. The Bears went to 2-3 last year and then had a very winnable game in Detroit in week 6 where they could have been 3-3. And actually, I thought, looking back at that game, John Fox really cost them that victory with some mistakes he made with the clock and time management.
Right.
And that was an opportunity for the Bears to be 3-3, and they really blew that game and then said they were 2-4. So I think this is a big opportunity the next 2 weeks for the Bears to beat some teams they certainly can beat, are capable of beating, and potentially get back to 500.
Adam, not only what's that, I agree with you 100%, we all do here, but I'll tell you what, you look at that schedule, first 8 games, look at the last 8 games. If we can put something together here, and really go after people and be prepared from week to week to week, that back half of our schedule, guys, and I think, Adam, if you know the schedule,
yeah,
it's winnable, folks. It is winnable.
It is winnable, but the last 4 weeks are tough. I think you got road games against Detroit and Minnesota, and then you have the Packers at home, and then also Washington at home, which maybe not doesn't look as tough as maybe we thought a few weeks ago.
And then Vikings on the road. So
right, exactly. Right. So it is tough the final 4 weeks, but you're right, OB, in that kind of here in this middle part, certainly the second quarter of the season, on the third quarter of the season, there are some winnable games, so some opportunities to take advantage of if this team can. But I still think there's a lot of depth issues here. And a win today, it's great. You take it. I still not a complete performance, though.
Okay, Adam, one last question. You know, and it's been kicked around here, of course, by your buddy Carm, saying that the team played harder today because they had a quarterback they liked, and there was more emotion, more commitment. And do you kind of get a vibe after a game that now, hey, we win, and Cuddy was a spectator. Do you get a little bit of that vibe, or do you think that everybody's under the assessment that, hey, we're glad to win, but Cutler still gives us the best chance?
I think it's still that Cutler gives you the best chance. And, you know, Carm likes to bring – yeah, Carm, you like to bring up a lot of guys that don't like Jay, but every single one of those players you bring up are no longer on this team. Every vibe I get from this team is that they like Cutler, they view him as a leader, they voted him a team captain, they still believe in him. And I don't think that changes because Brian Hoyer had a couple decent performances against 2 bad defenses. And, again, they only scored 17 points today. So let's keep things in perspective a little bit. I just think we're far away from dethroning Jay Cutler as a starter.
I got to just have an awkward moment of silence just to digest that. All right.
You need a Starbucks.
I do. I do.
Yeah, you're on a downer.
Maybe a latte or something
it's,
for you.
It's one of the beautiful things about my friendship with Adam Hogue.
Some froyo for Carm.
I love some. There's.
We'd like to fight over the quarterback.
We do, and I like a froyo ham, but I would, just so you know, I would prefer a nice fatty ice cream all day. Thank you. All right, Hoagie. We'll read you at WGNradio.com. You're the best. Thank you, as always.
All right, absolutely. We can agree on the ice cream.
There we go. All right, Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field. Coming back to wrap it up and preview those Bears and the Colts on the road. Can they get to 2-3? One segment to go. Hamp OB with Kaz, presented by your local Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. It's 720 WGN. Bears are going to have to put on their big boy pants going down to Indianapolis to face Andrew Luck and the Colts. You like how I did that, Ham?
Absolutely. And folks, Andrew Luck is a winner. There's no question about who everybody in that state of Indiana wants at quarterback. He put together a furious 21-point fourth quarter comeback, only to lose by 3 today over in London. He will be ready. So the settler, John Fox, better not be settling for field goals, OB.
The settler. Hey, wait, hang on, OB. The next game preview, sponsored by Arlington Heights Ford, number one in what matters most, and that would be you.
Well, this goes right out to John and Tony Guido at Arlington Heights Ford.
You're the best. You really.
It's just what you have to play. I'm going to tell you what. You just got to go out there and game plan, and enough is enough here. We've had a couple of months of doing nothing around here. See the importance of being prepared. We can go down. Hey, it's a team we can beat. We can beat them running, and we can beat them passing, but we got to be aggressive. If we're not aggressive, Andrew Luck will eat us up running and passing the football. Mark my words.
Luck was 27 of 42 today, a couple of touchdowns and an interception. Again, Indianapolis lost to Jacksonville.
You got to get after him,
30 to 27. Hey, we're out of here in 57 seconds, Kaz, and we have to be on time, but your thoughts on the Colts and the Bears?
Game they can win, but if you don't get pressure on Andrew Luck, he will beat you and beat you nonstop. And the teams that have beaten the Colts, and there's, what, three of them now? They get after him. When they don't, he lights you up. It's that simple.
All right, we got Blackhawks hockey up next preseason on the road as they take on the Detroit Red Wings. We will be with you next week, 3 o'clock, after the Bears hopefully beat the Indianapolis Colts.
Good show, Mark.
Good show, OB. Good show, Hamp. Good show, Kaz. Everybody have a great rest of your Sunday, and Happy New Year to all our Jewish listeners out there. Rosh Hashanah. Yes, that's right. There we go. Blackhawks hockey coming up next on 720 WGN.